All right, everybody, we are back. It feels so good saying that. It never gets old, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But this is Eric Lyons, and welcome to Metallicus Live, where we have some amazing conversations with some of the brilliant minds all around the crypto industry and beyond. But today, you are all in for a treat. We have two esteemed guests from Chiron Labs with us today. We have BD lead Matthew Engel and quantitative trader Carl Strachey. Matt, Carl, thank you all so much for hopping on today. How are you both doing today?
Well, I'll start because I'm American and a bit more pushy, and Carl's Canadian. So if I don't say anything, we'll be here for a while. He's too polite. So we're doing really well. And it's amazing to connect with you guys and get a chance to just kind of address some of the active community that enjoys the podcast and is sort of engaged on this medium. We're just really jazzed up. We're excited to contribute and to get more integrated with you guys. And can't wait to share how we're going to be doing that a little bit in a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Super excited and look forward to chatting here.
Likewise. So how we usually start out a lot of these chats, we want to get you formally introduced with the community. So if you all wouldn't mind, and we can start with Carl first, could you please tell us your background, such as like your previous role, what brought you to Chiron, etc.?
Sure. So my background's in economics and finance. Prior to Chiron, you know, I was focused on school, but also crypto as well. I was involved in creating some blockchain events at our local university through 2018 and 2019, and then really caught the bug from there, and I've stayed involved in the industry ever since and been at Chiron just over a year and loving it.
Thanks, Carl. So my name is Matt Engel. I'm the BD at Chiron. Previous to Chiron, I've been in the industry full time since mid-2017. So I wouldn't say I'm an OG, but I've seen some interesting narratives in the crypto market since my time here. And I'm glad that we're not still trying to fork BTC. That was that was a fun time. But previous to Chiron, I worked for the Phantom Foundation and business development, and did some other roles in crypto, just sort of finding my way in market making companies, but liquidity providers, but also on the protocol side, and just really becoming a daily active Web3 user. So, I mean, as you can see, I have a Sappy Seal as my my PFP. I ARF on a daily basis on Twitter with some other people, and you know, I love every minute of it. It's been a real, it's crypto has become like a career for me, but also my passion, my obsession outside of my family. So, previous to crypto, I worked for probably the most boring industry, which was kind of like a big culture shock, when I learned about Web3 back in 2017. And, I worked for an industrial supplier called McMaster Car, which has been around for 100 and close to 130 years in the U.S., which focuses on getting critical supplies to production facilities and laboratories and all sorts of places. So it was kind of interesting because from that side, I did tech support. I did onboarding for new hires, and even did a lead role on a physical building expansion. So I really just bounced around, learned some different things. But what I learned is nuts and bolts are not as exciting as crypto. And yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you both here. So would you say, Matt, that 2017 timeframe was your first exposure? You said to Web3, but was that your first exposure to crypto in general as well?
Well, I had how I really heard about Bitcoin and the greater like crypto market was a friend of mine who actually was mentoring me as I got into a new role in my previous life. I kind of call it like a previous life before crypto. was he was a, he's still a Bitcoin maxi. You know, we don't agree on that, but we still get along in a lot of other ways. But he actually sent me a copy of the version of Digital Gold, and it really just lined up perfectly with my ethos as a believer in decentralizing opportunity and access to financial system and financial sovereignty. So for me, it was like ideologically really aligned. And then once I understood like the culture that was building, although it's much more mature, even though nobody probably believes it, it's come a long way since 2017. I'd say that was my initial kind of like introduction. And then after that, I started mining things like Feathercoin and Vertcoin and getting my hands dirty doing some mining with GPUs. And then, I just spent lots of time in Discord, Bitcoin Talk, Telegram, and kind of caught the bug.
Plenty of time in the game, plenty of time in that game. So, Carl, you said that you started around 2019, you said?
Yeah, that's when I really started dipping my toes in heavily, I would say, yeah.
Nice, nice. Even by that, that was roughly three years and some change ago, but how was that? Because we get a lot of folks in like 2013 exposure, but we never get to know the folks that are more exposed to crypto within like the past couple years. So how's it been for you?
Yeah, sure. So I actually first got introduced to crypto probably 2016. My friend's father was in cybersecurity and he had given him a Bitcoin for his birthday. And we were young at the time, but we all were super fascinated and interested in it. And that was kind of the first introduction. And fast forward a few years later, in university with the same friend, actually, you know, we were still interested in blockchain and still interested in crypto. And, we had gone to our university and, you know, proposed to host a local blockchain event and try and get industry experts from all over the country to come, and we were able to. And that really, you know, solidified my interest in crypto and my interest in pursuing it as a career. So since then, I've really had the bug. And 2019 was an interesting time. You know, I think that was the period we had the dip down to 3,000 before rallying back up to, you know, 10 to 12 before the recent bull run. But it was an interesting time. There wasn't as many people there. I'd gone to a conference or two and the vibes were awesome, but a lot smaller than everything you're seeing now. So really things have grown quite a bit in the last 3 years. Yeah.
Absolutely. I solemnly agree. Being in 2019, being more diving into it a lot more in depth, as you said, once that 2020 hit and things within the industry took a turn, especially more so in that April-ish timeframe, did you find it difficult still being invested in the industry at that time, out of curiosity?
So, assuming you're referring to the COVID crash and all that.
Yes.
I think that was just a crazy time, not only in crypto, but the whole world, and just trying to figure that out. You know, I remember the day that the MBA was announced that it was canceled. I remember sitting in the investment lab at my university with all my friends. And yeah, it was a crazy time in the world. And we were all scared. We were watching, you know, stocks, equities, and crypto just nuke. And it was a scary time, but, you know, I don't think it wavered my interest. And if anything, I really dove in there because, you know, the world had kind of shut down to a certain extent. And I had more time to spend on crypto, and I did.
I love it. There's that diamond hand mentality. And oh boy, do I remember the NBA being suspended. That one broke my heart. But I love the introductions. But now that we've gotten to know you both a little bit, let's ask the question that is on everyone's minds. especially within the Proton community. What is Chiron Labs, for those that don't know?
So right before I tackle that, and it's a great question, fundamentally, I will say that I remember that COVID crash too. I'm old enough to remember. And I remember just, man, I laugh about it now because it wasn't the end of crypto, but man, that was an insane liquidity crunch across all risk assets. And man, there's a lot of people in levered positions in crypto. So that's why it was so ridiculously steep for us. And I remember just like looking, I was laying down. It was nighttime. I'm in Eastern Standard Time in New Jersey. And I was just kind of looking at my phone and watching just like the crash happen, going like, you know what? If it's time to go, if this is the end, I'm going down with it. Like I didn't have anything. I was just, I was sure it wasn't, but in the back of my head, I was like, damn, this could be 10 years, 10 year bear market after this. But no, it was a crazy time. And I think the conviction level for me just like quadrupled just seeing the fact that we rallied so hard after that and the conviction and the long-term support and the people who were there to like buy that panic like at those support levels, which were the, you know, long-term trend lines. I was like, wow, I mean, we're going nowhere, right? Because even 4 or 5 years ago, seeing that price of BTC, you know, in 3,200, like people would have thought, hey, that's expensive. And now people are saying this is a like generational buy opportunity. And it certainly proved out to be that way. But Chiron Labs, being a little more focused on the topic, is we're a trading company, right? We're a liquidity provider for specifically token projects, coins, things that are outside of BTC and ETH. So what we do is we work directly with teams to provide deeper liquidity, more consistent liquidity, and more competitive liquidity across the different pairs and trading venues that their assets are listed on. We do that so that it is a low cost, high reliability experience for anybody in their token economy that wants to move in and out of the assets. And also to help them build awareness for the asset so that, you know, people are attracted and want to stay and have high confidence. So that's our primary objective as a company. Behind that, we started back in 2019. So the company was founded the beginning of 2019 with two co-founders, and I'll actually pin once I figure out how to on the Jumbotron. I will pin some information or a blog post about the two founders so you can see in more detail who they are and basically what their story is. But we have two co-founders, Jens and Matthias, who are both lifelong friends and are from Belgium, the Antwerp area, where the company is actually based and registered. Alongside the two of them who started this company with no outside capital, just with their own brains and grit and effort, we now fast forward to today and we have roughly 25 full-time employees positioned all over the globe. I think our largest team would be consistent and made up of developers and quantitative traders. And then beyond that, we have some business development representatives, a couple people in our back office and advisory team as well. So in a nutshell, Chiron is a liquidity provider that works directly with the project teams. We also do some advisory services for early stage projects. It's really hand-picked. We're very picky when it comes to that sort of stuff, but we're also very picky when it comes to market-making clients because we work and spend a lot of time to kind of build out strategy around developing liquidity. And we also like to focus a lot of efforts in creating partnerships that are kind of long-lasting and real value adds to our clients. I think the community will, you know, I'm not going to drop any alpha, but the community will see that. Even within the first month of us working together, that we do more than just put orders in the books. We actually help build projects with our clients. We're highly aligned. We provide liquidity and we develop business, and in this case, networks.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So would you say, is that what makes Chiron different, is the decision process of who you partner with and leading out as the excuse me. I already blanked on my question as I cleared my throat. But would you say that's what sets Chiron Labs apart when it comes to partnering with other assets such as this?
So one thing that sets Chiron Labs apart is definitely how we select who we work with. But I think another thing is just how we've grown as a company and how it's been slow growth. It's been methodical. It's been all IP created in-house, no outsourcing. It's been the fact that we hired 5 people in 2022, then fired 18% of our company. It kind of shows you the difference between A, risk management, building a solid foundation, and also taking our time because we're here for the long term. We don't have a company that started in legacy finance, and this is just a vertical of business for us. We only are a crypto company. We only exist within Web3. So this is our home. And what we care about most is driving more TVL, more users to Web3. And what better way to do that is through products that are that have tokenized incentives, especially like DEXs, chains, and other dApps, and creating a great user experience when it comes to liquidity of trading these assets so that people can actually exchange value for them. So that's what we're doing. And kind of another thing that sets us apart is we've also done some work in creating Web3 partnerships with sports entertainment IP as well. So, amongst many things, we also helped broker the deal between Tezos and Red Bull Racing a couple years ago. So we've also done and worked with some large, conglomerates and IPs outside of crypto. And again, it really all focuses on wanting to get more people into crypto to kind of catch the bug like all of us caught the bug that are now working at Chiron. And if we can do that in making licensing deals and partnerships, we will. If we can do that in providing reliability on our clients' markets, we will. If we find another way to do it, we will.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. So let's talk about the Metallicus partnership. What got Chiron exposed to Metallicus initially?
Business development. Just people connecting with people, from one company to the next. It was LinkedIn initially, and I was approached by a BD on the, I'm just not going to provide names because I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I was approached by someone awesome at Metallicus in the BD department. And, we just instantly hit it off. And when I learned more and demoed Proton Dex and actually created an account, went through this really easy KYC and wallet creation on WebAuth, it was so smooth and easy to do compared to previous experiences, even with creating a MetaMask and adding a custom UPC, RPC rather. It was just nice experience. And then when I opened up Proton and I said, oh, wow, you could farm here. You could do bridging from other networks. You could have just LP in swaps if you wanted to. And then when I saw the centralized order book system with having on-chain governance and on-chain actual settlement and knowing that it was a DEX account, unless I assigned it to somebody else, but if I just kept all the permissions and access to myself, it was non-custodial. I was just like, this is what we need more of. And I spoke to the team, for a little while, internally about it. And we all decided as a company that centralized exchanges, we have a lot of good friends that we've built in those, organizations. And we understand the benefits that they can provide for brand new users. And I get that because I even was like my first ever crypto purchase was on, it was definitely Coinbase where I got slammed with fees beyond belief, never again. But also, But after that, like, it was Bittrex, because Bittrex was like a massive exchange back in 2017, RIP, right? So basically, like, I understand that it's a great onboarding tool. However, I think now we all realize, you know, not your keys, not your crypto, couldn't be more true. And after FTX collapse and all the loss of trust of centralized authorities and organizations, over and over again, it's time to actually take things into our own hands and rely on ourselves. So the fact that we can have a mix and the best of both worlds in Proton DEX, that kind of bridge that need for high frequency trading or you know, just more economical use of capital, where LP provision is really, you know, it's not a great use of capital, right? There's impermanent loss, slippage, and all these other things that you have to deal with. But now to be able to place limit orders on a DEX and have extremely fast trade execution, but also maintain custody, it's a dream. So we are aligned with that ethos as a company. We've been doing on-chain trading for many years now, and this was like a natural integration and fit for us.
Awesome. Carl, so out of curiosity, from the trading point of view, what's your thoughts on the partnership, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm excited. And, you know, I think over the next month as we, you know, fully onboard everything and we move into all the markets, that it's going to be really good and for both of us.
You could probably see the difference between a quantitative trader and a BD, right?
I love it, though. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I, there's no one I'd rely more on than our quants when it comes to, like, being in the trenches and just making sure everything's taken care of. But, you know, different styles, different skill sets. And Carl's an amazing guy and super reliable. And you'll see his work come out every single day, providing value in the markets.
Absolutely. Both of you all, clearly make the dream work, and that's what we appreciate having you all on here and getting to know the expertise, and that's why we're looking forward to what's to come with this partnership. Out of curiosity, Carl, just so I can be more educated on this, what is quantitative trading?
Yeah, so we really focus on data analysis. You know, we look at a lot of data sets, come to conclusions, try to formulate different strategies, you know, coding different strategies. That's really a lot of what we focus on as a quant. A lot of data analysis, a lot of trading, a lot of market analysis, coming up with strategies. That's really my bread and butter.
Awesome. So we just touched upon this just based off of this current landscape and everything that's been happening within the past, I would say, 6 months, and taking the matters into our own hands. Does compliance and regulation playing the factor in making those ideas come into fruition?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. It's at the next. It's the next phase, right? It's and what's happened recently is just pushing. It's telling regulators that you can't hide from this black eye, right? It's time to take action. Now, hopefully, they do that in a measured, you know, intelligent way. But we'll have to see. As far as DEXs go, it's really been the wild west, hasn't it? I mean, the amount of times I've been rugged just trying new things. Good thing I use brand new wallets for that. But yeah, it's been incredible. The growth has been so fast that it's hard to keep up with all the exploits and these different vulnerabilities and smart contracts. You sort of only learn about them after attacks have happened and exploits have happened. So on that side, it's been really interesting to see. On the DEX trading side, it's a great thing for people because it creates so much liquidity to people who have been outside of the traditional financial system for so long. who haven't had inclusion, and it really breaks those barriers down. If you have a wallet and some crypto, you can get involved in the future. But at the same time, it makes it incredibly hard for institutions and regulated entities to access those markets because nobody is known, right? So you have to bring a layer of validation and authentication to users who are on these DEXs. So Proton, what it does is it forces that sort of compliance. And so now institutions can actually access non-custodial markets, but not worry about trading with someone who's on a terrorist watch list, right? So that sort of thing is incredibly important. And DEXs are going, and I don't think we can let regulation and the need for certain standards stop us from having custody of our assets while being able to trade them. And so that's why Proton is another reason why Proton is so important, because it does add that layer of compliance. It does KYC its users, and it does give that comfort to regulated entities, institutions who want to use DEXs to trade going forward. It lets them know that they won't be breaking compliance or doing something illegal by accessing those markets.
So I'm going to agree. It's future-proofing and keeping everything safe and secure on both ends of the fence, both customers and the regulators. So, and I like how you said, Matt, that we all are kind of finding out about what are these do's and don'ts in certain institutions, namely some of our competitors are starting to find out. But it's ultimately just how we react. When you see these ramifications that other platforms are going through and how we adjust and putting in a compliant facing platform, I think that's a good way to solidify the future of not only our customers, but for the industry and setting a precedent standards.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I love it. So what are your thoughts on this current state of the industry, the crypto industry, Web3 industry, blockchain industry? And we can start with Matt.
Yeah, okay, me? All right. So, I could say that I'm really fascinated because I think NFTs have onboarded a whole new, tranche of new Web3 users who might never have used a centralized exchange before. Or gotten into a Telegram chat talking about an upcoming IDO. It's amazing to see how fractured Web3 communities are. I think over time you're going to see those delineations blend, just people who just like Bitcoin versus Ethereum and other network assets. A lot of people end up, agreeing that there's a lot of value in multiple things rather than just one. But for NFTs, it cater to a very cultural crowd and collectible crowd and an art-focused crowd that maybe trading and financial instruments weren't for them, right? They got into crypto for other reasons. And I can't wait to see more blending of conversation across crypto Twitter, and not just crypto Twitter versus NFT Twitter, which does seem to be two different places right now that I'm in both of. So I can't wait to see more people from NFTs who onboard in the last class explore more of DeFi and other things. I think games and NFT communities are starting to think about how to get them across into those other verticals, which is really cool. But it's going to take a lot of time because these may be people who know zero about financial TradFi or anything on the outside of the, I love, cute animal JPEGs and building really great communities and enjoying my time on the internet. So it's going to be really cool. And then also bridging that gap between people who have just been in the altcoin market, maybe focused in DeFi, but also enjoying some of the lighter conversation and some of the happiness that happens in the NFT with the GMs and all the good vibes that you could see. So that'll be really interesting for me. Right now, it does feel like two distinct different places. So I'm looking forward to seeing these come and merge in some way. I'd say Bored Ape Yacht Club definitely helped with that, releasing ApeCoin, right? Because they, you know, force people to also use DEXs and different markets. And it definitely put people in a position that it was financially incentivized for them to get involved beyond just the non-fungible side of things. So that's been interesting. Another thing is Blur has been, you know, kind of breaking that down by creating more of an exchange or like an aggregated liquidity center for NFTs rather than just a marketplace. So it's been kind of interesting to see that and some of the downsides, benefits, and disadvantages that provides. So that's been an interesting narrative. And then overall, just this is the first time that crypto has been alive in a macro market downturn. So that in itself has been really interesting to see how crypto holds up and how it reacts. And probably Carl could add more color to that in terms of like, you know, the correlation between crypto assets and other risk assets during this kind of economic time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think we're in a market where patience is key. Crypto is still very correlated to equities. And if we look at the equity market, you know, you have interest rates over 6% or mortgage rates over 6%, interest rates coming up on 5%, you know, the war in Ukraine still. And really the big factor is inflation. And is that going to come down? Is that going to be, you know, a long 8 month, 12 month, 16 month battle just to get it down to 2 or 3%? So I think that's really the big question and the reason there's a lot of uncertainty in the market right now and will continue to be uncertainty in the market. So I think people should be patient and really focus on finding the projects that are growing, you know, finding the trends that are hot and focusing on the companies that are building, growing their partnerships, onboarding new users, improving their user interface. All that kind of stuff is really what's important during these, you know, call it slower markets at times. And that's really what I'd be looking for as a crypto user, is the projects that are building and building strong.
I'm starting to hear a trend here, especially within these last 10 minutes. And mostly it pertains to all of us having to stick together, regardless of our communities or if some folks are more DEX as opposed to NFT or vice versa, or if we're different companies altogether. How do we partner up? How do we come together? And how do we make this one tight ship going? And I think that's something that we should all consider today, especially with the fact that we got a new partnership with Chiron Labs, everybody. And we're so excited to have this future, this new future with these guys. And it's so awesome to hear you guys share your expertise with us.
Thank you. I mean, we're really excited about it too. We've got a nice client portfolio and a big network of people who are really driving value, doing stuff, like really doing stuff in this space, not just talking about it, but doing it. And a lot of people, a lot of companies, they're looking for ways to scale their risk exposure and third-party risk on centralized exchanges, but not compromise tradability of their assets for people who don't want to use just AMMs, right? So as a BD, as account manager, I'm extremely excited to bring this to everybody I know. And then, of course, as soon as we're, you know, live trading, then we can actually provide consistent liquidity with their other exchanges. As soon as a lot of their users come onto Proton because they're looking for this sort of experience where they can have low latency and a smooth centralized order system with on-chain settlement and maintain custody, they'll, you know, create accounts. It's smooth. It's easy. I did it in 2 minutes. And, I'm looking to see more assets on chain and get more people in the markets.
Likewise. Now, out of curiosity, and this isn't regarding just the partnership, but this is a Chiron question in general. But if any one of you can share, what is Chiron's plans for 2023? If you're able to share.
Scaling. We're just going to keep growing. We're just going to keep leveling up our talent, keep reiterating our algos, testing new algorithmic strategies. Just keep breaking things as well, reiterating. I mean, it's just the way it's worked for us. I think we're definitely going to have this year a nice company trip in Belgium again. Last year we did that as well. We all went to Tomorrowland, which was a hell of a time. And this year we're going to be getting together again in Belgium. But the future looks very bright for us. We are going through a full rebrand, refresh on our branding. So can't wait to show you what that looks like, just to kind of re-identify ourselves and have more of a voice in crypto and a distinguished tone. What we did see is that when left a big void, other players can come on who call themselves market makers, and they can drive the narrative. I mean, Alameda, to name a name. We want to make sure that people understand that there's real solid people out here trying to maintain liquidity and push the space forward. And kind of now we see how important it is to have our own voice and be in the public forefront. So that's what we're going to do more of in terms of a content standpoint. From a client standpoint, we're just trying to continue to make our client outcomes better, better, better. That means our tech needs to be better. Our trading desk needs to be more intuitive. And I need to be better as an account manager. Our BDs need to be smarter. We need to drive better partnerships. So it's just going to be improvement and scaling.
The partnerships are going great thus far. I can assure you that.
Bullish on partnerships for 2023. That's for sure.
To the moon. So, Carl, is there anything from a trading perspective that anything that you can share in regards to Chiron's plans?
I think Matt really covered a lot of it, but it's just scaling, growing, building, all the stuff, you know. Like I said, you know, for investors in crypto or users in crypto to focus on the companies that are building, you know, growing their UI, doing all that stuff. That's what we're doing as well. And we're really focused on pushing as hard as we can in all of those areas. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it, everybody. I love it. Before we wrap this up, is there any final thoughts from Carl or Matt? Anything that you'd just like to share with the community that hasn't already been said, or anything you'd like to reiterate?
So everything good on my side. We do have another Sappy Seal brother and Chiron quant in the audience. Brett is here. He actually was the Chad that helped introduce us to Carl. And so if you want to invite him up, I'm sure he'd be happy to say some words. He's always a man with a good point of view.
Why not? See, Brett, if you can put in the request.
Howdy.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, I just landed in Denver. I'm going to East Denver.
Nice.
There you go. Another Canadian.
Yeah. No, but I've been listening to the AMA the whole time, so it's been really great conversations that you guys have been having. So really appreciate the open communication here.
So the reason one of the reasons I did this is if anybody listening is in East Denver or at East Denver, find Brett.
DM me.
DM him. Beers. DM him on Twitter.
Friday night beers.
Hang out. Well, hey, that's all good. That's all I'm down. So, yeah, hang out. We've got two people in East Denver. I'll actually be at Singapore 2049 and Token 2049 in Singapore in the fall. So if anyone's there, you know, hook up with me on DMs and we'll definitely get together. But yeah, we're also expanding to do a different events. So we'd love to meet any of you in person, if you're open to it, and just shake hands, have a beer, have a coffee, whatever.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I am here in East Denver. So if anyone is here, feel free, follow me, send me a DM, whatever. I'll get back to you and make sure we meet up at some point.
I mean, and that didn't sound desperate at all. So it's not like Brett's lonely.
No, I got my homies with me, Rob. Rob's our another BD with Caron, so he's here with me. So yeah, we're just trying to meet everybody and check out some cool tech that's coming out of the builders here.
Amazing. Awesome.
Well, there you have it, folks. Now you know who to meet up with at East Denver and then later on in Singapore. But great to have you on, Brett. It's been a pleasure, Matt and Carl. We're looking forward to this partnership and to see how we can progress this in the future and as we both grow as a company and as within the industry together. So I'm just fantastic for what the future holds for all of us. But first things first, I'd just love to thank you all so much for taking the time to hop on the Twitter Spaces, hopping on Metallica's Live. And it's been such a delight being able to listen to you both and your expertise and your knowledge. And I just hope that the Proton community is excited as I am and as the rest of Metallica's is.
Thank you so much. Let's go. We're ready. Let's go.
Thank you so much, Eric. Really excited for this. Looking forward to it.
I'm excited for you all, too, and now you're all going to grow. I very much am. But, Matt, you also mentioned you wanted to drop some things about the founder and the rest of the team. You can drop it underneath this tweet here, and that way it will always be accessible to everybody within our community. Just wanted to let you know that one real quick. But I want to let you all know that that's about all the time that we have here today. And thank you much to everybody that's topped on this Twitter Spaces today. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Without you, we aren't us. And everybody that's on this Twitter Spaces, this Metallica's Live podcast is going to be available on all podcasting platforms later on, including Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, etc., and also on our Metallica's YouTube page. And everybody that's listening to us via our podcast or YouTube, feel free to drop us a follow on Twitter at WeAreMetallicas. And also, don't forget, find Chiron Labs. They're also on Twitter. If you guys like to drop your handles, by all means, please do that right now.
Yeah, so I'm at Maddie's. Let me find out what I am because I'm so many platforms that I can't even keep straight. I'm at MHE Crypto. MHE Crypto. Matthew Houston Engel, MHE Crypto.
Beautiful.
You're in the Rocky Mountains. That's the problem. That's what's up. Thank you so much for having us, guys, and we're looking forward to not just talking about adding value but actually doing it. So we'll see you in on Proton Dex in the order books, and look forward to meeting you guys in person as soon as possible.
Looking forward to it. You guys have a great rest of your time at Eve Denver. Have a great time in Belgium, and the rest of you all have a great rest of your week. We'll see y'all at the next one.